Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Brian throwing down a little bit of funk to bring us back. Way to go, Brian Fongers, the consummate producer of the Grilling Guys. I've been with us for years and always will be if I have anything to say about it. But anyway, you are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Barbecue Bob is still recovering from his vacation. He'll be back in the chair next week. So we've been having a little bit of fun with Chef Andrew Smith, the culinary genius, took us down through the sauces, did a little cold smoking, and now we got to come up for air and talk to Chaz about this little bit of Scottish Arse ale we've got here. Tell us what we're drinking, Chaz.
Kiss My Scottish Arse is our slightly smoky scotch. We departed a little bit from the guidelines of style and went to a peated malt. So they use peat to smoke it, so you get like the scotches, like a single malt scotch or a good Irish whiskey has that special smoky flavor. And when I heard we were talking cold smoking, a cold beer with a little smoke in it, that had to get on. It's one of our big
sellers
this time of year.
Yeah.
And it pairs, oh my God, so well with these things. I had it with some of those soft cheeses. I think it was a nice Wheel of Brie, and they warmed it up, and we had a cold beer with it. The smokiness came out of the rind. You know, I like a little bit of rind in with mine. And it was delightful. Over some nice spent grain crackers we even made with that. It was fancy.
Wow.
Yeah, I was trying to impress the chick, too.
How'd that go?
It worked.
All right, baby. Yeah, score! But anyway, let's talk a little bit about the beer business, because in West Michigan, we have a proliferation of breweries. Chaz and Schmoes were on the front end of that trend. There's been many, many that have developed over the years. And now we have this thing called, it's not beer day, it's not beer week, it's beer month in West Michigan. And it started the 15th of February and is going till the 15th of March.
To the Ides of March. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Tell us a little bit about some of the things
know
that are going on.
It kind of wraps around Winter Beer Fest.
Okay.
We've got that coming up here at the end of the month out at Fifth Third Ballpark. It's now a two-day festival, Friday evening and Saturday afternoon. Saturday tickets sold out in like 3.5 minutes. But I tell everybody, go Friday afternoon anyway. Nobody's out of beer.
Right.
It's the first day. Get in there. The crowds aren't quite as heavy. And usually they've got some fireworks and stuff going on. But since it's Winter Beer Fest, all the other reps from around the state come and invade Beer City USA. And there's promotions all over town. You know, tap takeovers, features, dinners, pairings all over the place, doing great things. We've got the experienced GR people. They're pushing things with the restaurants where they're doing pairings on their menus for the whole month. There's a lot of stuff going on. Go to your local brewery and just ask them, what you got special this week?
Right, and there's a website out there, if you Google it, I don't have it in front of me, I apologize, I should have, but that's specific to all the activities that are going on for Beer Month in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, you go to Experience GR, they've got them all listed.
All right.
It's going to be huge stuff going on. If you haven't been to Winter Beer Festival, you ought to check it out. It's a big party. If you can get tickets, go ahead and go up there. Wear your ice fishing suit, because it is outdoors. Rain, shine, snow, blizzard, sub-zero temperatures, doesn't matter what it is. Party goes on.
That's
right.
And
the beer flows.
And we've done that a few years. I haven't been in the last couple years, but we did it the first few years it was there. And boy, there's some characters there. Everybody wears a big pretzel necklace so you can cleanse your palate between the beers, because, I don't know, Chaz, I'm guesstimating there's 70, 80 breweries there, and they're all bringing 3 to 6, 7 beers, so do the math.
I didn't get the final count yet, but it looks like we're going to be over 1,000
beers. Yeah, wow.
You can get out there, and the beerfestlist.com has an app. It'll give you all the beers that are going to be on there. You know, write that one down in the dust on the dash.
Right.
And look that up when you get home. The mibeer.com will have listings of all the beers if you want to go old school and print it out. You hit your attack pan, because there's 1,000 beers. You've got to highlight that list and figure out which ones you really want to get to.
Yeah, because if you've not been there, if you get there, man, there's lines. It's really good beer, and they're giving – you get like 23-ounce samples or something.
15 3-ounce samples with purchase of your admission. But then you can buy more tokens.
Sure.
And get on with it. But they're just little 3-ounce pours. Now, some of these beers are big. I was talking to a brewer the other night, and he told me, he says, we're not bringing anything under 8%.
Yeah.
So schedule your ride.
Yeah, right.
Drop off lane. Have grandma drop you and
your beer friends
off. Yeah. And pick you up in the minivan later. Just, you know, keep your cell phone tucked in and party on, enjoy yourself, but be safe about it. Because we want you listening to The Grilling Guys the next week.
That's right. And let's switch gears a little bit from the beer. If you have too much, you might get a little like a vegetable. So we're going to smoke a few of those, Drew. We talk a ton about proteins on this show, whether it be steaks or brisket or pork or you know, whatever it may be. But we don't often dive into the vegetables and fruits. Right. And so you've got some tips and some ideas. Let's talk about those.
Yeah. You know, man can't survive on meat alone, although we try a lot of times.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you got to have a little variety. You know, variety is the spice of life. And so, you know, put some other things on that smoker that you haven't done before. And, you know, some of the things that come to mind for me, veggie-wise, that I love smoking are, you know, obviously we talked about tomatoes, but also avocados. If you've never smoked avocados and then made guacamole with it, man, you have no idea what you're missing.
Okay, so let's dive into that a second, because an avocado's got a rind on it. And I would think that if you put that in the smoker, the smoke hits the rind, and then when you peel it, because you don't eat the rind, you'd lose the smoke. Is that not the case?
That's not the case, because it is that rind is still permeable. You still can get the smoke flavor through there.
Okay.
Tends to be a much more delicate, mild smoke flavor, but it definitely changes the complexity of that avocado.
So you're leaving it on there whole with the pit in it, obviously.
Yep. And the skin on, and you just go and smoke away with it. And, you know, again, cold smoking, you know, try and keep it below 90 degrees and, you know, 20 to 40 minutes, depending on the smoke and the ripeness of your avocados. But makes just a great twist on classic guacamole.
Wow. That sounds good.
You know, other things that come to mind for me, I know we're getting into this, you know, today's, we're not thinking fall food, but on a hot day like today, but squash and pumpkin. And when I talk about squash, I'm talking like any of the hard squashes, not, you know, not the zucchini and yellow squash that everybody sees, you know, in the grocery store, but we're talking like the Hubbard squash, the butternut squash, you know, pumpkins. Those are just awesome to smoke in the smoker, and the flavors you get out of those and the complexity. And you can use those just as roasted vegetables at that point, or root vegetables for that matter, beets. And one of my favorite things of all time to put on the smoker is corn on the cob. And I leave it right in the husk, soak it in water, drain it off, dry it a little bit, and then you can even hot smoke corn a bit. But one of the most important things you want to really do when you get done with that corn is don't waste any of it. And when I take the corn off the cob, I take those cobs and I make, again, stock out of it, and I end up with this wonderful smoked corn stock.
Corn cob stock.
That you can use.
First time, baby, right there. Never heard of that one before.
And again, you use that for making like a ham and corn chowder or a smoked whitefish chowder with corn in it. And boy, I tell you, it just takes your cooking to a new level. And it's not that hard to do. And this way you're not I'm a big proponent of not wasting anything in terms of food. I use anything and everything wherever I can.
So these stocks, then, you're putting this in there, you're boiling. Would you start with just water?
You just start with water and your vegetables, seasoning like bay leaves, peppercorns. I don't put any salt in my stocks because I can always add salt later, but I can't ever take it out. Bring it to a boil, let it simmer. Your veg stocks are going to be, you know, a 20-minute to 1 hour cook time at the most. And with your meat stocks, the more substantial the meat is, the longer you're going to cook them for.
Heavier bone.
Fish stocks are going to be a 30-minute to maybe 1 hour. Chicken, maybe an hour and a half to 6 hours. And your veal stocks can go anywhere from 6 hours to a day or two.
So you're gonna put this through a colander and a cheesecloth to remove all the solids. And what you're looking for is just the leftover liquid is your stock.
That clear liquid.
And again, that's back to some of our sauces that becomes the fundamental base ingredient in that sauce. So Phenomenal, man. One of my favorite things on the smoker is a tomato cut in half with a little bit of Parmesan cheese, and then when I'm done with it, get some of that Old World Olive Company 18-year balsamic and put a little of that on there on that tomato when it comes off the smoker. Oh, man, my mouth's watering just talking about it. But anyway.
Hey, I like smoking up a few heads of garlic.
Oh.
To have those around.
Right. That would make, because you can spread, that's spreadable. Once that smokes, yeah. You're putting heat to that, though,
I'm
right?
Putting heat to that and cooking them down.
Yeah.
And sometimes even using that to make a garlic compound butter.
All right. Well, coming up next, we're going to bring this train to the station and touch on a few more things that might be tasty on your grill and smoker.
Law.
And some man law. So stick with us. We'll be back. Come on in. Get down on it. If you